Welcome to the GC Podcast, a podcast to help you develop into the healthiest ministry leader you can be by sharing practical ministry experience. Here are your hosts, Kara Garrity and Christiana Dole.
Welcome everyone to today's episode of GC Podcast. Christiana, it is so good to have you here with us today. I'm wondering, what are you celebrating these days?
You know, I don't know if this is the biggest thing to celebrate, but I would have to say the end of exams.
Yes.
You know, it's that moment when you finish a project or a paper and you close all the million tabs you have open on the computer, you put away all the notes and books. The end of exams is really akin to that feeling, you know, except there's a lot more excitement realizing that you have time off. So that's definitely what I'm celebrating right now.
Yes. Amen. Well, congratulations. And I'm glad that you'll be able to take a breath and a bit of rest through that. Today, we will be exploring the Love Avenue practice of mapping the neighborhood and what that can look like. So what comes to mind when you think about the concept of a neighborhood?
You know, in many ways, I think of the concept of neighborhood as tied to community. You know, neighborhoods are where specific places become the center of engagement, fostering relationships, and developing friendships. So there's a sense of connection to the library, the church, even the grocery store, because those are the places that you share with your neighbors. Those are the people that you see and connect with every day.
Yeah, the sense of shared living. I really like that. And you know, this idea of mapping the neighborhood we're going to be talking about, but what does that even mean? That's not really a phrase that I've used in my everyday life. So can you expand on that phrase a little bit for us, Christiana?
You know, mapping your neighborhood is kind of like the process of contextualizing and interpreting scripture. Through that process, when we consider the text in terms of original language, the culture and historical context of the people addressed by the text, and the immediate text of the verses that surround it, that process is similar to when we map our neighborhoods, reading the audience of our neighbors in order to draw meaning from them. Mapping your neighborhood involves considering the numerous aspects that shape the community in your focus neighborhood, from ethnic and religious affinities to cultural perspectives to daily practices. When we map our neighborhoods, we apply and live out what we learn in scripture in ways that will engage our focus neighborhood.
Thank you, Christiana. So it's kind of like actually getting to know your neighbors and your neighborhood in a real and meaningful way. And so let's hear what our guests have to share about their experiences mapping their neighborhoods. Hello, friends, and welcome to today's episode of GC Podcast. This podcast is devoted to exploring best ministry practices in the context of Grace Communion International Churches. I'm your host, Kara Garrity, and today we're doing things a little bit different. We're taking the pod vignette style to hear what mapping your neighborhood can look like in different neighborhood settings. Today, we're welcoming Pastor Linda Sitterly, lead pastor for the Eugene Junction City and Salem congregations in Oregon, USA. She'll be sharing from her experience of mapping the church neighborhood in these settings. Pastor Linda, thank you so much for joining the pod today.
Well, hello. Thank you for having me on.
And before we get started, I'd love to just hear a quick word. What's something that's bringing you joy these days?
Well, probably I would say my reading. I like to read. I'm starting another book club within my fellowship, and music, of course, has always been a big thing for me. Even though I pastor, I'm still on the worship team, and, you know, I'm their keyboardist, so they can't really get rid of me.
So. Oh, but, I love that.
But yeah, those things, that and gardening, when it starts to get warm outside, then gardening will step up and there's weeds that have to be pulled and stuff. So, but yes, those are the things that I really find my joy, my peace, you know. My tranquility is in that. So,
Amen. Well, thank you for sharing. And first, before we, you know, start digging in really deep, I'd love for you to just tell us a bit about your church neighborhood and the discernment process that went into being in that neighborhood.
Well, our neighborhood is the small town of Junction City. It's about 7,000 people right now. It's a very fast-growing bedroom community, and it's situated just north of the Eugene-Springfield metropolitan area, which just lies to the south. And because we have a concentration of members in Junction City and the bulk of our membership just to the south of us, it has been on our radar for quite a long time for Junction City to be that potential target community. And so it wasn't so much a discernment process, but a feel like a move by the Holy Spirit. And I was approached a while back by a member of the congregation to see if we'd be interested in leasing a church on a piece of property that was there in Junction City, because they were wanting to buy it to build a house on it, because it would have, you know, had a enough room for that. But they still wanted to keep the church there because they wanted us to be able to have a church home. And so, of course, I said yes. And then just as things have progressed, this last year, we've been able to actually purchase the property from them for various reasons. Things didn't work out for them to have a house built there. So, but it was our blessing to be able to purchase it from them. So that's where we're at. And that's really how it all came to be. It was like we wanted to be a part of Junction City, and this allowed us to have it happen. It was just really, definitely, I think the Holy Spirit inspired everything happening, from them wanting to, you know, purchase the building to us being able to really get into it. And now here we are in Junction City, where we wanted to be for a long time. I know Tim and I have lived in Junction City for over 37 years, really. And our children are raised in the schools there. And our son and his family still live there now, actually. And so it really feels like this is the time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why we're there. And Junction City is a very interesting town. It's a farming community. It's always been a farming community. It has a lot of other aspects to it as well, in that it is a bedroom community. It's starting to take on a little bit more of that vibe. That city vibe is starting to come into it. That urban vibe is starting to grow, because younger people are moving in. It's a town full of families, and the schools are overflowing to the point where they're trying to figure out how they can build more. And so it's a really a growing town. In fact, it is listed as the number one growing town in the state of Oregon.
Wow.
Yeah. And so to kind of be here on the cusp of some of that happening is pretty exciting.
Yeah. And to be able to find a physical location for the church community to meet in a neighborhood that you guys have wanted to be in for a while and that your family has been rooted in for quite some time. That's incredible.
Yes, we have quite a few connections. We've got other families, like I said, other church members who live there, as well as a lot of other connections, other friends, and then friends who have friends. And so, yeah, there is really the connection growing, that it just seems that, yeah, this is the time. And so.
That's amazing. And so now that you're, you know, in Junction City and you have this meeting location and now's the time, what kind of things have you all done to get to know your neighborhood a little bit more? And as you've done that, can you share some examples both of what has worked well and what hasn't worked so well?
Yeah, well, what hasn't worked so well is COVID. That has been, here in Oregon, a lot of the mandates are still in place, and we're, we still have our mask mandates for indoor activities, and there's still restrictions here, and that we don't want to step on that. That's the one thing that has really been on our hearts, is to make sure that the community knows that we respect what has been laid out by our governor and everything. And so, you know, we don't want to be disrespectful and have them think that we you know, don't respect, you know, the law or anything like that. And so COVID has been one thing that's kind of kept us from really making the big push that we wanted to do. We've pushed back any open house or anything until we feel it's safer to do that. And so that we let the community know that we err on the side of safety. And so, you know, that's where we're at. But we have done a few things since being there. We have in the past had tremendous success where we were located before of doing Easter egg hunts and Easter activities on the day of Easter. And those were always very well attended. And so we thought, well, let's see what we can do here. And so we gathered people together and we went out in the very early hours of the morning on Easter and hid eggs in the yards of members' children. Yards as well as friends that we knew, and then friends of friends, we'd say, who do you know has children that would appreciate having an Easter egg hunt, and, you know, for the children in the morning. And so we did that, and it was interesting to kind of, you know, be out in the middle of the night and trying to hide eggs without being, you know, we're in a small town and you don't want to have people going and calling the police on us, but we were able to do that. And we were able to within those eggs and things. We also had little cards that that's personally reached out to each of those children with their names and, you know, wishing them a happy Easter. And then I heard through grapevines that people were shocked, and others said, you know, that their friend broke down in tears and cried because, again, Easter egg hunts were kind of, you know, just put on the back burner for right now because of COVID and everything. And so to have something in their yard for their children to wake up to, you know, was very moving. And so that was successful. And we do plan on moving forward with that as well and seeing what we can do to expand that. The other was we did a trunk or treat, and that was good. It wasn't as heavily attended as we had hoped, but it was still successful in that we got people who got eggs in their yard, and then they came to our trunk or treat, and then they realized it was us who did their eggs, and they were just like, I had a lady started to cry when I was talking to her, and she was so thankful that we did that for her little girl, and then here they were at our trunk or treat, and so yeah, that was good. Just making those connections, you know, letting them know that we're here. This is where we're at. And so the trunk or treat was very successful. We've always done very successful Halloween events. I mean, if anything, I don't like to say this, but all of our Halloween decorations far outnumber any Christmas or Easter decorations that we have. And so, like I said, we've always been very successful on our Halloween events. And so moving to this location, we just decided to keep it as a trunk or treat, and that was, again, a nice moderate success for us. We were happy with it when it was all said and done. So, and other than that, again, with the COVID, we haven't really done any more than that. Like I said, we're hoping to have an open house this summer and really just opening our doors to everybody. So.
Yes, and continuing to create those spaces where you're able to get to know people in your neighborhood. Like, I love that example you shared, that somebody who received Easter eggs showed up at the trunk or treat and was like, wow, it was you guys. And so you're building those connections and getting to know your neighbors in that way.
Yes.
Yeah, that's incredible. You know, and as you're making these connections and building on connections in your neighborhood, what difference has it made to go into your neighborhood as a learner first?
Well, yeah, that was kind of interesting. That's an interesting question. I know when we've gone out in the past at our previous location, it always felt like a struggle to kind of know, you know, where do we begin? What do we do? How do we, because, you know, even back then we always knew we needed to, you know, make a connection, but we never knew really how to start. We knew it always started with prayer, and we have done the prayer walks and things like that. But it's always like, after we did that, it was like, okay, what's the next move? You know, what do we do next? Yep. And we already found out that, you know, we did well engaging in local community events. We had a small event every summer that we were part of with the city of Eugene. That is, like I said, the town that's close to us. And we were in that event. It was a citywide event for that particular part of the neighborhood. And we were always engaged in that. But, you know, we would engage it. We would do face painting and rubber band gun games and things. And people were always swarming our booth, but we never really made the connection. We just couldn't find, how do we engage them? How do we bring them back? How do we get them to ask about us? You know, so we were, I don't know, it always felt like we were missing direction. And it just seemed like, I didn't want to say we were wasting our time, but it just felt like, wow, we have so much to offer. How can we, you know, how can we make it more profitable for people? So I guess the challenge is now to find the ways to make those connections. And so from our time, you know, living here, and the Junction City is, again, a kind of a festival community. They're very Scandinavian. So I forgot to mention that, but they are Scandinavian. And every year they have an annual Scandinavian festival. It lasts for 4 days. And so here we're thinking, wow, now how can we become involved in that? Is there a way to find our way into the festival? You know, and then we're thinking, well, we have the schools. We've always done a school thing in the past. Again, getting in there and letting people know who we are. But again, the connection's not made. And so, you know, but here we have these schools. But now it's easier because now we have kids who attend in every level from elementary up to high school. And so parents are involved and they're involved in all the clubs and the activities. So now we're thinking, we have a better connection now because of this. And so for us, our challenge is how not to make the mistakes that we made in the past. And now we want to know what the questions are and not going in thinking we already have the answers, because we do not have the answers. And we're looking to know what the questions are. And so, as a learner, we're looking for the questions. We're looking, where can we fit in? What can we do? You know, so that's I guess where we are in this step as a, you know, new church going into a community, you know, and we are trying to be that learner first and not coming in with any preconceived ideas of what we think we should be doing.
And I think that's so key, Linda. I love that you say that, to not come in thinking that, well, we have all the answers, right? But first, what are even the right questions to ask, you know? Oh, that's good. That's good. And then I think that that helps. What are the meaningful connections? How do we meet people where they're already at with the things that are already important to them? And that's one of the things that I heard that was really meaningful, even in the example of the Easter egg hunt and the trunk or treat. In your community of Junction City, you mentioned there are a lot of families, you know, and it sounded like, especially during COVID, families were missing out on something fun that their kids could engage in. And so to meet them where they were in that and to say, well, let's find a different way to have fun and to build connections and to do something for families. You know, when we go in figuring out what are the right questions to ask instead of, well, we automatically know all the answers and the right way to do things. Yeah, the possibilities are endless.
Yeah. Well, we took what we knew we could do and what we did well, but we knew we couldn't do it the way we had done it in the past. And there was no way, you know, without it. If failing, we just knew that. And so we just had to come at it at a shorter level, a smaller level, and just see, and just say, hey, we're just going to build on this. And, you know, let's just see how it goes. And if it's a moderate success, it's a moderate success. And if it fails, it's going to fail. And then we can't take that on ourselves. It just wasn't what was needed. And so that's how we're approaching things. You know, if it fails, it fails. And that means it wasn't what was needed for right now. So we already knew what we could do, but that was at a different location. Now we're at home now. We're home. And now the members who don't even live in Junction City, but to them, Junction City is becoming their home. And so that's what's important for us now, is getting the rest of the membership to think of Junction City as our target community.
Yes. So. Yes. And I love what you said about a failure is just a failure, and that just means it's not what was needed. I think that's so key in this learning posture, because we're just learning. What does our neighborhood need? What is meaningful to our neighborhood? And it's a posture where we can learn. And along the way, we may do something that the folks in our neighborhood, it just doesn't connect with them, you know? Yeah. And that's okay. And especially, like you said, what works in one community or neighborhood might not be meaningful in another. And that's okay too. How do we keep learning and connecting along the way?
Yes.
That's great. And so as you've made these connections, as you've come with the posture of a learner in this neighborhood community, how have you continued to develop the relationships you've made along the way, or maybe even build some collaborations within the neighborhood?
Well, since we kind of, like I said, Tim and I have been here for a long time, we've already made some connections within the community just on a personal level. I know I have a lot of inroads in with some of the local businesses, and with the Chamber of Commerce, we have connections both personally and business-wise. And so I think that for us, it's important for us to continue to improve those relationships and make them deeper, because I believe that, you know, going forward, having business on your side is important to an event that you might want to put on, mm-hmm. you know, to help, you know, the rest of the community, because businesses are all about the community as well. And so, especially in Junction City, like I said, it's a small town and everybody looks out after everybody. And so, building those partnerships is very important. And I'm also part of the local pastors association. And so with our group of pastors, when we meet, they always bring in guests from the outside, from the community, that attend these meetings as well. We've had the chief of police with us on many of our luncheons, and people from the fire department, as well as we've had school principals, and a lot of people who serve on a lot of the local nonprofit boards. And so we have this group of people all coming together. And I think that's one of the good things about being in a small town, is that the church isn't looked down upon by that many people. There are those who do, but for the most part, we all work together. It's all a nice collaboration. And so that's how, you know, you build those partnerships. And I think that we'll only continue to build those. And especially as we get past COVID, where we can really, like I said, move further out. I think I'm looking forward to summer and actually some of the events that are going to start taking place because of the warmer weather.
Yes. And those strategic partnerships can help the church community learn more about the neighborhood and, like you said, position them to serve the neighborhood better. Yeah, that's great. Well, Linda, any final encouragements or words of advice that you have to share with our listeners today as they begin to go out and map their neighborhood or get to know their neighborhood, in other words?
Well, we've said numerous times over the years that we should plant a church in this community. We have said it. I mean, Tim and I used to joke, you know, we'd have so many members and we'd always say, why don't we just, you know, why are we driving all the way into Eugene when we could just, you know, have a little church in Junction City? And so we've made so many connections over the years, and, you know, to finally see it come to fruition, that, I mean, I just still can't get over it. The fact that we are now in our community. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our challenges going forward will be like the rest of the world, COVID. And once we're past that, we can make the push that we're wanting to make. And you know what? COVID has in some respect been a blessing, because it's allowed us to get moved into a new building, making the renovations that we needed. And it's forced us to have this digital presence that we've always wanted. And we tried for a long time, but just could never get it right. And so without the pressure of having to hurry all of these projects along and risk them turning out poorly, we were actually, you know, able to do it well. And throughout this process, we've come to know, you know, so many families in the area. And so we're really looking forward to opening our doors and welcoming them in. And then hopefully the community welcoming us into it as well. So it can happen. And that's just, you know, you can't just say it's never going to happen because, you know, I'm the last person to actually believe that this, you know, actually happened. You know, it took a long time, but it happened because it needed to be the right time. And it's the right time.
Amen. Amen. That's a good final word. It can happen. In God's timing, it can happen. Well, we're coming up to the end of our segment where we get a little bit silly. So I've got a couple of fun questions for you, Linda. No pressure. Just say whatever comes to mind first.
Okay.
After sharing all those, yes. You know, after dropping all those wonderful wise insights, we got to, you know, get a little silly. So my first question for you, if you had to play one song or one album on repeat for an entire year, what would it be?
I was just talking about this with somebody else the other day, and I know this is going to give my age away, but it would just have to be any Monkees album.
Okay.
Any Monkees album.
Yeah. So. All right. What item on your bucket list are you most excited about checking off?
Wow, that's a hard one. You know, because I honestly don't really have a bucket list. Yeah, I'll have to say that. I don't have a bucket list because for me, it's every day's an adventure. And so I don't need a bucket list to check anything off.
I love it. I love it. And then finally, what is your number one must-do recommendation in Junction City?
My number one recommendation is for me to my one, number one thing, and it's, and I've been telling everybody this, and it might be kind of silly, but I want to be in the Christmas parade next year. I want to be in the Christmas parade. That's my, that's my number one, my personal number one goal.
That's
I don't know about the rest of the congregation, but I'm going to be there.
Oh, I love it. Well, Linda, thank you so much for joining us today. It has been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you.
And next, we will hear from CJ Malamkar from GC Surry Hills, Oklahoma. CJ, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Kara. I'm super excited.
Well, CJ is the Love Avenue champion and the MTC coordinator at GC Surry Hills in Oklahoma, USA. And today she'll be sharing her experience mapping the neighborhood in GC Surry Hills. But before we go ahead and jump right in, I'd love to know, CJ, what is something that is giving you hope these days?
Man, there is just hope all around me. For sure, I know that all of it, every single bit of it, the source of it is Jesus and the move of the Spirit. But it has just been so evident. I feel like I've been given front row seats to a miraculous show of the Spirit. And I'm just so blessed that I've been able to have my eyes open in a way to see the miracles that are happening all around me. It is just so exciting to be a part of and to get to witness.
Amen. Amen. And speaking of witnessing what the Spirit is doing around you, tell us a little bit about your church's neighborhood and the discernment process that went into being in that neighborhood.
Yeah. So it is a story of God. Absolutely. We have had a small church. It was actually in a double wide trailer house about 3 miles west of where our target neighborhood now is. Originally, we were in a very small, unincorporated neighborhood, but luck should have it that we had a few members that actually lived in our neighborhood now, which is Surry Hills. And over time, as we weren't getting traction from our ministry and our door to door and trying to meet the other neighborhood where we were, we discovered that something was happening in Surry Hills. There were relationships happening because some of us lived here. We were taking the opportunity to get out and get to know our neighbors and our neighborhood. And we just started seeing this beautiful thing of relationship. And I mean, I just know that Jesus works through relationship, right? And so as this is happening, suddenly like multiple of our members just start moving to Surry Hills. A lot of the leadership didn't even know that that was the plan. They had already like bought houses and were moving before we found out. And so there was just this move of the Spirit to bring us to this neighborhood. And it was just a beautiful thing. It was undeniable. We had to experience some doors shutting in our face, where we had been for the, you know, 15 years before that. You know, we had a lot invested there. We were there for 15 years. We kept trying. I believe we were doing all the right things, but it wasn't in the right place. It wasn't where God had for us, that He had something bigger and better. And we just, you know, we didn't know it. So we had to experience some of those doors shutting and facing that and facing the truth in that before we could even see the beautiful windows that were opening all around us, pointing us in a whole new direction.
Yeah, I love that idea of seeing around. What is God doing around? What direction is He pointing you in? And so as you guys started to see and move in the direction that you felt like the Spirit was leading you in, what difference has it made to go into your neighborhood of GC or of Surry Hills as a learner first?
I mean, it is, I think it's amazing. I've always said this, how in the Bible, you know, you hear Jesus talk a lot about loving your neighbor, right? And there's this term neighbor. And it is so intimate and so important when you think of the term. You know, a neighbor isn't just someone who looks like you or who believes like you or who acts like you. Your neighbor is, you know, the person living in your community that you're in relationship with. And so it definitely opened our eyes to this whole new ministry, which has always been Jesus's ministry. But it took us a while to get that, you know, let's get out and get to know our neighbors. And I mean, it was as simple. I can tell you that my husband and I, when we had our babies and they were little, you know, there's always that driving around in the car to get them to go to sleep. So every night we would drive up and down every road in Surry Hills just to get to know our neighborhood. And then we took advantage of that. You know, if we saw trash, we would stop and we would pick it up. If we saw a neighbor maybe unloading groceries, like we would stop and ask if they needed help. If we saw someone outside working in their yard, we would stop and compliment them on their beautiful yard and their hard work. And before we know it, like all these relationships are starting to happen. And the thing that happens with relationship is trust. And once that trust is there, you get open hearts and open minds, and you just get this sense of community. And so I'll never forget our first official, I like to say it because we tried something once and it didn't work, and I'm going to get to that. But the first thing that did work that we did is we joined the neighborhood instead of having a GC Surry Hills outreach. We had a neighborhood outreach that was sponsored by GC Surry Hills and our neighbors. And we invited the neighbors to come out, and we did a service project on this little, they call it the hidden park. It's kind of hidden in a greenbelt. And it's a beautiful park, but it hadn't been touched in probably 30 years. So we went in and cleaned it up, repainted, gave everything a fresh coat of industrial paint. Made it much more family friendly. And we had more neighbors show up to that than we had church members. And we had quite a few church members. So that was the first impact that we were like, wow, like for 15 years, we have been trying to get our last neighborhood to show up. And this time they showed up and we joined them. You know, we didn't ask them to join us. We joined them as well. And it was the beginning of a beautiful, beautiful story.
Amen. So the posture of how you showed up in the neighborhood made a difference, is what it sounds like.
It did. It did make a difference, because now we're not just a church trying to get neighbors to come to their church, right? Now we are a church, a group of people who are neighbors, mm-hmm. loving and serving together with neighbors. Mm-hmm. And so it's not this us, them, it's this we. You know, we all have this neighborhood and this community in common. And we all have the love of God that holds us together in common, whether we know it yet or not. And so when it became about us and we and joining the rhythms of my community, and, you know, it was a major change. It was a major shift, and it led to some really amazing things to follow.
Yeah, that's incredible. To be a neighbor.
Yes.
That's amazing. And so, you know, you alluded to this. What are some of the things that you've done to get to know your neighbor and to be a good neighbor? And please share both examples of what's worked well in your neighborhood and what hasn't worked so well in your neighborhood.
Yeah. So I'll start off with what hasn't worked. When we first decided that, wow, let's test the Surrey Hills market and maybe see if that could be a neighborhood that we also outreach to. We did kind of a little trunk or treat at our church building in Richland, right? Because that's the only building we had. It was 3 miles from the neighborhood. It was out in the middle of nowhere, but it was our building. And it was a great little trunk or treat, but I don't think we had any neighbors from Surrey Hills come because we were trying to get them to come to us, right? Yeah. And so we learned really fast that to try, when it comes to building relationships and, you know, finding your target community, we cannot rely on, well, we'll know when they come to us. We've got to get out there. We've got to join the healthy rhythms that are already existing within our target communities. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the same year that we kind of did that little trunk or treat, a couple of neighbors in Surrey Hills did their own trunk or treat. And a lot of people went to that. And I became friends with these neighbors. And that's also a huge thing. It was important to me to find the people in the neighborhood that were the doers and the talkers and the relational people, because I knew I wanted to get involved. I knew I wanted to be a part of what was already happening. Mm-hmm. And hopefully, even like, you know, with the move of the Spirit, make it even greater and bigger. And so I was strategic on getting to know people. I used our neighborhood Facebook page to see, you know, who are the people who are heading these up? Who are the big volunteers? I went to HOA meetings. I just went to introduce myself, to hear what was going on, and to volunteer to help make a difference. That's actually how we got the park project, was I went to an HOA meeting. I listened to what they had going on. And I said, you know, I have a little church and we are looking for ways to serve this neighborhood. We would love to do a work party for your park and open it up to the neighborhood so we can all work together. And so it was going out and doing those things. I got to know, we have a Lions Club park here in our neighborhood. I went and intentionally got to know the neighbor that is over the Lions Club Park and the Surrey Hills Lions Club. And to this day, it is such a beautiful relationship that now one of our longtime members has joined the Surrey Hills Lions Club and he's volunteering his time. And so I'm a connector, right? That's my primary voices are pioneer and connector. And so for me, I am just like seeing this beautiful tapestry of just all these lines, these connections, like going everywhere throughout the community. And it is undeniable that this is a God thing.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I heard in what you said that I feel like are particularly insightful. One, I heard that the things that you did that were particularly impactful in getting to know your neighborhood weren't always events.
No. Now, events are great, right? Like, we have some really great big events in the neighborhood. We have a trunk or treat that over 2,000 people come to, and it's incredible. These events are great, but the reason they're great is because we already have the relationships. Mm. So it's like a family gathering, right? Like, family gatherings can be so much fun, but would it be as fun if you didn't know those people? They're fun because of the relationships, getting to come together and spend time together. And so that takes an initiative outside of the church walls. This is when it comes even to a personal level. Like, you know, each of us is called to be the church to our neighborhood, that to trust that God placed each of us exactly where we are, and that we are called as individuals to be the church. And before you know it, all these individual relationships, you know, like I said, these connections start happening, and it just flows into the life of the local church, and it's beautiful.
Yes, yes. And the second thing that you said that I don't want to miss is you have to go to where the people are and not expect them to come to you. Join the life rhythms of the community.
Yeah, yeah. It's huge. It is so huge. You know, it depends on your community, you know. I know, for example, this is a great example. I've always advised people, if they're going to like do a trunk or treat and it's in a neighborhood, maybe don't do it Halloween night, because now you're trying to compete with the healthy rhythm that the neighborhood already has going of trunk or treat, whatever night regular trick or treating is. So instead of trying to compete, let's offer something extra so that they can do both. This is why it's important to get to know the rhythms of your community, right? Because we have another church that in their community, they did their trunk or treat on the same night as the trick or treat, but because of the location of their church, it wasn't a competitive thing. It was, they added on to it. They were like their own station in the trick or treat path. So it's just so important to get to know your community, get to know your neighborhood, to find out those healthy rhythms and then join them, you know, bring something extra, join it, make it better, make it bigger, more love. It's just so important.
Yeah, I love that, because it also recognizes that God is already there. Right? And he's already doing something. And so how are we participating in what he's doing in this place that he has brought us as a church community to participate?
That's awesome. And it can be scary, right? Like, it's absolutely scary. It's so much easier for people to stay in their houses with the doors shut and locked and just go to church on Sundays, right? That's way easier. But that's not who we were created to be. We were created to be in relationship with one another. And so, you know, it's just so important to get out of our comfort zones. And really, what is there to be afraid of? We can't fail. It's not possible, because we're not the ones that change hearts. We're not the ones that build the church. Jesus is, and he doesn't fail. So, you know, there's nothing to be afraid of outside of our own. We are our own worst enemies when it comes to our fears.
That's a good word. And I want to follow up on one of the other things that you mentioned about you were strategic in building some of your relationships in the neighborhood. And so how have you continued to build strategic partnerships or collaborations in the neighborhood?
Man, it has been incredible. You know, getting out, like I was talking about earlier, and just being a good neighbor and getting to know my neighbors, doing things like starting a Surrey Hills Meals of Love page on Facebook so that anyone in the neighborhood, if they were experiencing sickness or tragedy or rough times, we could do a meal train for them. And as neighbors, bring food. And volunteering at different neighborhood outreaches and events. And that includes things outside of my church. One of the things that we did is we went and assisted another neighborhood church in cleaning up the grounds behind their building where a private school is. And so, you know, it's being a part of that. You start to build these relationships. And before you know it, for me, you know, a great evangelistic tool, my secret weapon is my Facebook, right? So I'm becoming friends with these individuals and we become friends on Facebook. And before I know it, I'm like, oh, they own this business. And oh, they do this for a living and they do this. And so once you get to know them, it was just incredible at, you know, there's businesses and Surrey Hills has so many business owners in it. And so as we started dreaming big and doing some of these big outreaches or events, because I got to know these people, I was able to put out just an open invitation and say, look, you know, we want to throw this neighborhood event. We would love some sponsors. So if your family or your business would be interested in sponsoring this event, we would really appreciate it. And that's all I had to do, Kara. People were, because they trusted and because there was relationship there, you know, the first year, I think we had 5 or 6 people in the neighborhood who owned businesses or who were private families that like each donated $100 to be sponsors. Well, because they did that and this was a community event, we made sure to honor them, you know, with sponsorship signs and Facebook postings and, you know, just making connections when someone's looking for a house cleaner. Wow, you know, we have this great person in our neighborhood that does this and she sponsors our community events. What a good neighbor. And, you know, before I knew it, I don't even really have to put out posts anymore. Now it's like, I have a budget for an event and I will fill up all those sponsorships for that event and then get multiple emails saying, how come I wasn't a sponsor? Can I be a sponsor? And it's like, yes, I'm putting you on my list. So now we have this list of, you know, probably 20 or 25 local neighbors who own businesses that want to sponsor any and every event that we will open it up for. This has allowed my Love Avenue budget to be, 90% covered by the community that we're serving. And now we're able to take that money that we had budgeted in our budget and pour it back out into the community in other ways through ministry and connect groups and camps and outreaches and all the other things and to support the other avenues. It's been a beautiful thing.
Yeah. And when the neighborhood sees neighbors being neighbors, that's compelling, right? And so those partnerships, it just amplifies, right? The ways that you're able to participate in what God is doing in your midst.
When something big and wonderful is happening, people want to be a part of it. And so there's nothing more wonderful than community and relationship and love, right? Like that's what God has for us. That is the biggest blessing that He has given us is relationship. And so when we are participating in that and we're doing these things, it's just amazing. It's like casting that compelling vision. And people want to be a part of it. They want to be a part of community. They want to be a part of neighborhood. So it's really incredible to see the Spirit move throughout Surrey Hills.
Oh, amen. Amen. You love to hear it.
Yes.
Well, my final question for you, CJ, what final words of encouragement do you have to share with our listeners who are maybe beginning to map their neighborhoods?
Yes. So my advice would to be authentic, be yourself. Mm. You know, when you go up and meet somebody, don't say, hi, I'm CJ. I'm with Grace Communion Surrey Hills. Say, hi, I'm CJ. I'm your neighbor. It's so good to meet you. And then as the conversation develops, you know, they're going to say, you know, what do you do? Da, 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 da. Everybody in this neighborhood that knows me knows my church. Mm. It's undeniable. I don't hide it. I'm very proud of it. But I also don't want them to feel like a project as soon as I meet them, right? Yeah. And people can sense that. Nobody's stupid anymore. You know, like they get it. They know what's happening. So be real, be authentic, and watch what Jesus does. Watch what he does. And, you know, it's having your eye, pray for God to open your eyes to see the things that he's doing around you, because it's really easy to miss, Kara. It's really easy to get stuck when we see doors closing, to be so focused on that shut door that we aren't seeing these beautiful windows opening all around us. And so it's so important to open the eyes of our hearts and be willing to accept maybe what God's telling us, because some of us may not be in our target neighborhoods. We may have an amazing building. We may have an amazing congregation. But if it's not reaching outside of that, are we willing to listen to the Spirit? Are we willing to test the waters and possibly see, is there somewhere, you know, it may just be the next neighborhood over. It may be just a couple of streets over, you know, but to open our hearts to what God's doing and to see what he has for us and to trust that, it's a huge step out in faith. But again, we can't fail because all we're doing is joining Jesus and he never fails.
Thank you so much for that encouraging and challenging last word. How are we joining in what the Spirit is doing in our midst and not maybe what we would like to do in our midst? Thank you so much, CJ, for those insights. But I'm not finished with you yet. I've got a couple of random fun questions to ask. And you can, no pressure. You know, just say the first thing that comes to mind. We're going to have a little fun with it. So first question for you. If you were a wrestler, what would your entrance theme song be?
Oh, I so got this. Okay. So it's not really a song, but kind of. Have you guys seen the new, it's like, I don't know if it's TikTok or Instagram reels, but there was this lady on Family Feud and she went in to play Fast Money and she's like, hold on. Holy Spirit, activate. Holy Spirit, activate, activate, activate. That's my tunnel walk.
That would be fantastic.
That's my tunnel walk in life. I asked Pastor Joe if the next time he has me give a sermon, if I can come out with that playing as my tunnel walk.
Oh, I'd pay to see that. Next question. I might also pay to see this. If you could bring back any fashion trend, what would it be?
Oh, man. I feel like they've all started to come back slowly but surely. Yeah, probably the big hair. The 80s big hair where you spend like an hour with hairspray and tweezers. Like, because the reason so is, you know, nobody has a bad hair day because we all are having bad hair days, right?
Fair enough. And finally, what is your number one must-do recommendation in Surrey Hills?
Oh, Surrey Hills, join the neighborhood Facebook page. You will not get any more entertainment than that. No, the must-do would be, in fact, we're so blessed because we just built a church on it. There is a beautiful pond nestled right by the golf course in the heart of the neighborhood. And it is, I believe, the most beautiful and serene place. There's a lot of wildlife, ducks and geese, and it is just birds, and it's just beautiful. And it's just a place that's open to community to come and have picnics or fish. And that would be the place that everybody needs to visit when they come to Surrey Hills.
Love it. Love it. Well, thank you so much, CJ, for sharing and for spending your time with us today.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. I always love getting to chat with Kara.
Join me in welcoming Bibi Sanchez and Juanca Barrero from GCI Bogota. In Bogota, the church is known as Comunión de Gracia Internacional Bogota, or CGI Bogota. Juanca and Bibi are part of the worship team. They serve translating GCI material for Latin America, and they are the happy parents of baby Carla. Thank you both so much for joining the podcast today.
Okay, thank you so much. Hello.
Welcome, welcome. Before we get started, I would love to know, what is something that has been bringing both of you peace recently?
Well, I guess definitely our families, relationships, the relationship with God, and to feel that you belong to something special. There's something special about that sense of belonging, of a family that you matter, that you're a part of, right?
Yeah, and I will say definitely something really specific. It's that when I have my baby in my arms and she's sleeping, that's the most peaceful thing. Yeah, so also that.
Amen, yeah. Amen. Well, thank you for sharing that. Today, we're going to be talking a little bit about mapping your neighborhood as a practice of the Love Avenue. And so to begin, can you tell us a little bit about your church neighborhood and the process of discernment that went into being in that neighborhood?
Yeah, sure. Well, maybe the first thing that I have to comment is that we own our church, and that's a blessing. You know, it's a blessing that I don't know, the Holy Spirit just guide my dad, and he before we got the opportunity to buy a home. And so he invested in a church, specifically a church. You know, it was a Catholic church, and so we have this amazing opportunity to have our own place. And because of that, well, many we can consider that place our first home, right? Mm. And so, well, you know, regarding the Love's Avenue, during the 2021. With the pandemic situation and all of that, the pastoral team gathered, and we had a foundation called Caritas Felices. That's happy faces in English, in which we visited faraway neighborhoods and took food, clothes, gifts, music to serve and give to the children in need. And at the same time, talking to the parents about the gospel. So this worked for a while. But reading about the Love's Avenue concept regarding going to your neighbors and something that is close to church, we knew that it was the best for, kind of reconsider our service to our community. And so we discovered some interesting facts about our neighborhood.
Yeah, so there is this couple that is in charge of Caritas Felices, Happy Faces, Andre and Gisela, and Salome, their daughter. They started mapping important institutions and key points of Galerias, which is our neighborhood. They also discover nearby our church, the Mayor Chip, some institutions that support children, and also people with disabilities and some community centers and cultural house in front of our church.
Yeah, it's incredible. We visited that cultural house a couple of times, and it was good. They were a little bit crazy, but they were okay. There are a lot of teens in the neighborhood because of a soccer stadium, and sometimes get you know, like pretty violent, I guess, because
maybe
of
there's also
the
like
a
park really close, so a lot of teenagers, they go and play soccer. So
so that was a good, you know, that was a start process, because the mapping was very, very important. And another couple, which is Diego and Jenny, both of them are lawyers and they serve in our pastoral team. And they took this information into account and they discovered, you know, like incredible realities in our neighborhood. So they discovered, for example, that some elderly people, that they were the owners of their own houses. They were in need. They were actually living in poverty because, you know, because of the pandemic situation, they didn't have, some of them, they're just really old and they don't have a lot of family around, or they don't have any relatives. And others, they're just begging and beggars for, you know, like money, and they go to community diners because of that. And that's, so that's crazy. Many of these people have been victims of robberies and scams. I don't know, our neighborhood during the day, it's kind of okay. But during the night,
yeah, it changes a little bit.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, some of our members, in fact, they got stolen, like the wheels of their cars.
Mm-hmm.
At night, you know.
During our meetings.
Yeah, during meetings at church. But it was at night. But during the day, it's kind of okay. But all of this, you know, was positive because we decided to start this year with a chocolatada. You know, chocolatada is something that we like to drink chocolate. I don't know if that's...
Yeah, like hot chocolate?
Yes.
Yeah. So,
yeah, we invited a lot of people from the neighborhood, and they came and we talked about plans, and we kind of meet them, some of them. So it's really difficult to have a conversation that is enhancing, that is positive with them. Many of our neighbors, you know, they're just not that interested in attending church. So, but they have received, you know, postcards and Christmas celebration,
yeah,
invitation,
some information about our church. So yeah, we're in the process to get them to come to church.
Yeah, it has been a slow process.
Now, thank you for sharing that. One of the things that I want to know that I heard that is really incredible is you all had a moment where you paused and you thought about, oh, we used to do it this way. And now we got to think about, well, what about our neighborhood, right, where our church building is located? Maybe we need to think a little differently. And I think that's really important to have that moment of maybe we can think differently and see what God is doing right close to, you know, where our church meets. That's wonderful.
Yes.
And so it sounds like you have done a lot of learning about that neighborhood and trying to get to know people. And you said trying to get to know their needs. So as you've done that, what difference has it made to go into the neighborhood as a learner first?
Well, I guess it has opened a lot of opportunities with the mayorship and some people from the government, because turns out that one of our dear beloved servers at the worship team, she has a disability in her eyes. It's very difficult for her to see. And so she like we got like the contact of the person of our neighborhood that was in charge, you know, from the government of helping, you know, these kind of disabilities and things like that. So I guess, I don't know, as a learner first is overwhelming with all the things that you can do. And maybe you realize that there's so many things that you can do outside of church, not inside. And so getting the contacts and you know, like scheduling meetings, that has been like lately something very positive. And now we have, you know, we are proud of this because we are working with the mayorship and having some training sessions with them. They're helping us and you know, with many topics for the young Yeah.
Yeah, and I will love to say also that when you go as a learner, you stop thinking about what you want as a church for your community, and you start seeing what they really need from us. Because that's really important to maybe stop there and watch them and listen to them.
Yeah, sure.
Yes. Yes. And to be out in the community learning instead of, like you said, we can get outside of the walls of the church, right? There's much to do in the community as we learn what the needs are. Yeah, and you've mentioned some examples. What kinds of things have you done to get to know your neighborhood? And maybe share some examples of what has worked well and what hasn't worked as well as you've tried to get to know the neighborhood.
Well, something that has worked very well is that for some reason, you know, we're trying to go outside of the church, but there's this huge missionary group living next to our church, and they're kind of using our church as their headquarters. But that has bring a lot of teens and a lot of people inside our church, you know, and so we have kind of like meet up a lot of new people and people that come from different countries, especially from the US. That's I don't know, it was a coincidence, I guess. And the guy in charge, is his name is Jesus. And he's
Jesus is in our church.
Yeah, you know, he's a cool guy. He's a Venezuelan, and he's in charge of like a training. Some people that come from the U.S. and telling them about the dangers in Bogota, but also about the beautiful things about our country and our city. You know, and so that the church is also. Kind of like giving that service to the community right now. And that's one thing that is positive. Maybe negative things that have happened with the community is that sometimes we have some neighbors that they work in, I don't know, maybe some jobs, maybe she's a nurse, you know, they have this schedules. And so on Sundays, they hate it. Or they used to hate when we were worshiping because our roof was too thin. But we got that fixed by now. You know, it is fixed now. But, you know, they used to complain, like, why do you have to sing at 8 a.m. Sunday? You know,
yeah, it's crazy. Like the music is so loud and we hear the drums.
Yeah. But we told them, no, don't worry, you know, we'll try to, that. Yeah, we'll fix that. And now we don't, like, give, like an incredible concert at 8. We try to just give, like sweet melodies, you know?
Yes.
Anyone.
Yes.
But, yeah, yes. You know.
Well, even that is an example, right, of communicating with your neighbors and to hear that need of like, oh, I'm tired at 8 a.m. in the morning because I worked all night, you know, and to hear that and to say, oh, we care about you, you know, we'll fix the roof and we'll play sweet melodies instead of a rock concert, you know.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what's important.
Yeah. Anything else that you'd like to share that you've been doing to get to know your neighborhood?
Well, yeah, you know, we used to have this incredible, because they were incredible, soccer matches after church. And because as Bibi was saying a moment ago, there's a park like one block away from church. And although sometimes we saw people fighting, you know, and, you know, like terrible things in that park, like we used to gather there and just to play soccer with the church members, and also people from the community, they joined in, and we ended up I don't know, like drinking water together after the game. And so that was something very special that was going on. But because of the pandemic situation, like there was nowhere to be found, you know, we stopped doing that. But we can tell you that right now our favorite place of the church is the ping pong table that we have. And we invite sometimes people there, and some teenagers, they like to just play ping pong.
Yeah, they just go and play, and then we can maybe talk about something about the gospel or something like that.
Well, we
but
try,
also
right?
Playing. Yeah, we try.
Look, Matthew 13, but they're just playing ping pong.
Yeah, but at least we have young people there.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a great example of connecting with people in things that are meaningful to them because you've gotten to know your neighborhood, right? Even that example of having soccer matches, you've realized that in that neighborhood, soccer is of interest. It's important to the people in your neighborhood. And yeah. So you meet people where they are, at the things that they already care about. And so that's incarnational, right? And that even gets to this question of when you get to know people in your neighborhood, then the activities that you do as part of the Love Avenue, they maybe change to meet the actual needs, like Bibi was saying, right? Yeah. If people like soccer, then go play soccer, you know? And then the people in the community will come join. If they like the ping pong table, then play ping pong. And so that, yeah. I think that's a beautiful example of meeting people where their interests are, being incarnational in that way. Any other examples that you want to share about how getting to know people in your neighborhood has changed some of the different activities that you do within the Love Avenue?
Yes, definitely, definitely. I used to go, you know, this was a challenge because a lot of people, you know, around the corner, there was like an MMA training octagon thing. And so we went there and studied jiu-jitsu a little bit. And you know, so we were kind of like talking about the gospel with punches. Is giving more is better. Giving is better than receiving, you know, 100%.
It applies perfectly.
Yeah. Here. But again, you know, the pandemic situation took so many things away. Because of the pandemic, they were broke, and so they're not there anymore. So you know. But something that I have to mention that is positive is that many of the houses that are old and are very close to our church, they're being, I don't know, like sold, and they're building a lot of like, I don't know, apartment complex buildings. And so I guess that we are seeing that we're going to have a lot of community around us.
A lot of families. Yeah. So we have to take advantage of that.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's paying attention to how maybe are the needs of your neighborhood changing because of the pandemic even, you know, and how are the opportunities changing? Yeah. But I love that. If there's an MMA training, then you go to MMA training, you know?
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Whatever works. Yeah.
And you know what? Some couple of kids, I don't know, they did a graffiti on our church. And, you know, like, 5 years ago, I will have cleaned that graffiti, but I don't know. I left the graffiti there. And so now we have a cat, you know, they put a cat on our logo, like
GCI. Yeah, kind of like a sticker.
Yeah, like a cat. And I was trying, you know, during the week, like, to remove it because we were fixing some things about the church, you know, at that church with my dad and two girls, like in a specific moment, that was incredible. In the very same moment that I was trying to remove the cat, they told us, you know, like, why are we removing the cat? Leave the cat alone.
We love the cat. Awesome.
It's the church of the cat, you know. And so, I guess we led the cat there, and I have it now as my profile and picture in WhatsApp. Because I feel it's funny, but they have a sense that made me realize that they know the church, that they know that there's a church there, and every time that they pass, oh, the cat or the church or whatever they see, but they know that we are there.
Yes, building the presence in your neighborhood. That's good. Yeah. And as you've done that, I mean, that speaks to the next question I have for you both. How have you continued to develop relationships you've made as you've gotten to know your neighborhood? Maybe even, you know, building partnerships or collaborations.
Yes. Well, there's a very, very beautiful example about a family that we were supporting since day one. They lived very near our church, and the lady, she's a hairdresser. And so she had that business near the church, and we just, you know, we started, I don't know, helping that family in many ways, but I think that the best way that we helped is just opening our doors and being us and just sharing our relationship with them. And now I guess I'm proud to tell you that the oldest daughter, she's part of our worship team and also part of our ministry of GCI Kids, you know, and she's very involved in church right now. And
even though they had to move away from church, she's still coming. And she is with our church 100% working. So we're happy to have her.
Yes, yeah. And so that is a very good example of a family that was from the neighborhood and stayed because, I don't know, maybe because God did what he had to do. And they felt welcomed in our community, and we are all like a family now. You know, she's part of our family. Whatever she needs, we do something about it and stuff. Or whatever we need, you know, she's like, what do you need?
Yes, God shows up when we make relationships in our neighborhoods, because our God is relational, you know, so transformation happens when we build those relationships. That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, finally, I have one more question for you both. What challenges and joys have you experienced while getting to know your neighborhood? Or maybe final encouragements do you have to share with our listeners today who are getting started knowing their neighborhoods?
Well, it's definitely a challenge to have the time, because in our busy world, you know, we have to work and we have jobs and we have things to attend. And you know what? One of the things that I was telling Bibi is that maybe we should move a little bit closer, you know, because I feel that living a little bit closer, we will have more activities, more ideas about engaging the community. And so that's a challenge, because we live not that far. It's like a 30 minutes away from the church, but it represents time and you know, like planning and things. And sometimes during the week is difficult, right? And so that has to be a challenge and something to consider in the future. And now regarding the joy of being in that community, well, I was very, very happy with the cultural house at, you know, in front of the church, because they were always bringing musicians and you know, like presentations and about different instruments and things like that. Well, they were a little bit crazy, you know, like kind of smoking certain things and just like living a I don't know, like an open-minded life. But what we were attending, kind of like sometimes their community, I don't know, their presentations, and they knew, like, oh, those are the weird guys from the church, like, be careful, you know, be careful. And we were starting to plan things. It was going to be awesome, but again, you know, the COVID came and they were broke and they have to go now. I don't know, so they're in a different place now, but I think that, you know, we have to start from scratch. You know, many of our leaders in our pastoral team, they have been incapacitated, or they have, you know, been in serious financial issues, and they're not coming back to church. So we're thinking about, okay, let's start from scratch. And even though we are doing that, you know, planning that, God is wonderful, because he has done whatever he's doing, and people are coming without us doing anything. It's like, you know, and so we can plan a lot of things, and then we have this setbacks because of illnesses, because of financial troubles, as I was telling you a moment ago. And so but some people in the community are just, they're just aware of us, and they're going to our church, and that's very, very, very beautiful, very, very empowering for us. And just maybe we're praying for more hands, more people that want to join the Love's Avenue, the Love Avenue.
Amen. Bibi, anything that you want to add to that?
Maybe encourage our listeners to keep get to know known, mm-hmm. their neighborhood, even though it takes time, it is worth it. It is worth mm-hmm. it to feel that your church, it's part of the community and it's present.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good word.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good word. And I, you know, I want to say that that too connects with what Wonka was saying, that I think is something to think about with mapping our neighborhoods and thinking about the neighborhood of our church. Is it's that's a serious challenge to consider. Is our church's neighborhood our neighborhood too? Do we live close enough that that's also where we live our lives? And I think that's a serious challenge that that you've named, because then that's the same that helps us. Do we continue getting to know our neighborhood, getting to know our neighbors? Because like you said, BB, it's worth it. So thank you both so much for sharing those final words and encouragements. But I'm not finished with you yet. I do have a few fun questions for you, and that you can answer the first thing that comes to mind.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'll take it easy on you. I'll take it easy.
Okay.
So the first question I have is, if you could become instantly good at anything, any activity in the world, what would it be?
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I guess I will love to parachute.
Oh, yeah.
I've never done that in my life, and I've seen some videos, and I don't know if I'm afraid of heights, maybe not, but it has to feel incredible, right? It has to feel incredible. However, I don't know. I'm a little bit hesitant about that.
Yeah, I would be too.
Let me think. I don't know. I would say maybe drawing, because I love to draw, but sometimes I feel that I don't have the time to really study that. So, yeah, I would love to draw really good, like right now.
That's awesome. I love that. The next question is, if you were in the Olympics, what sport would you compete in?
Well, you know, I am a very bad player in chess, but I would love to be, you know, like, I don't know, like a Gasparov or something like that. Like, know all the moves.
I know this one well. I would love to be a gymnast.
Oh,
yeah, I love that. I love to see that on TV. So, yeah.
Oh, that's so fun. Mm-hmm. That's so fun. All right, the final question. What is your number one must-do recommendation in Bogota?
Oh, my God.
If someone visits, what's the first thing that you tell them that they have to do?
Well, you gotta be careful with some places, but Bogota's a great city, and a lot of people are, you know, this is kind of like an international city, so it's just a matter of knowing which places are you going to visit, but you know, having fun in Bogota, I don't know, is good. It's because of the people, maybe not the places.
Yeah, maybe I will say that go to Monserrate.
Okay.
That it's kind of a, can you say like a mountain, but it's not that high. So you can climb.
Yes, but you cannot take the beaten path, because there's a lot of, you know, muggers.
Well, yeah, it's kind of dangerous, but I know that right now it's not that dangerous, and it's a really cool plan. So, yeah, I will say Montserrat.
Okay. I'll make a note of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. I'll make a note.
Yes.
Well, Vivian Wonka, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. It's been a delight to learn from you. It is our practice to close the episode with a prayer. And so, Bibi, would you be willing to say a prayer for our churches, our ministry leaders, and our listeners today?
Okay, yeah, of course.
Thank you.
So, dear Lord, thank you for this space that you gave us today. Please bless all churches in the whole world. And we know that you are working with us. So, please keep doing it. We love you, God, and we give to you everything that we are and everything that we do. Please bless us all. Amen.
Amen.
One of the reasons we went vignette style with this particular episode is to highlight the reality that every neighborhood really is unique. And so mapping your neighborhood is an exercise of contextualization. What commonalities did you notice amongst the guests, Christiana?
I think building relationships is something that was common to all of our guests and seems really integral to the process of mapping focused neighborhoods. You know, all of our guests emphasized and demonstrated the importance of seeking to build relationships of trust and compassion rather than developing a relationship that seems focused on transactional engagement.
Yeah, that is huge. That is a huge thing. That no matter how you're contextualizing, mapping your neighborhood and getting to know your neighbors, it needs to be based on relationship because our God is a relational God. Another thing that I, noted that the way that they did that was going and being in the community instead of asking the neighborhood to come to them, and becoming a part of and joining those rhythms, which I thought was really a shift in perspective and then learning from their neighbors. Another thing that I love that I saw as a common thread between those three experiences of our guests was they were open to God showing them a new way, a new way of engaging their neighborhood or even a new neighborhood that they ended up settling in as their church's target neighborhood or the place that their church would call their neighborhood home. So I thought that was a really interesting thing, that they were open to discerning where God was leading them to really plant their church neighborhood home in. What examples of neighborhood contextualization did you notice that was maybe different between our guests based on their particular neighborhoods?
I think one of the things, and this ties into what you had just mentioned about really seeing where you join into the rhythm of the community, that was something that I recognized as a part of the neighborhood contextualization, is that they recognized where they would join the community and engage in a way that was cognizant of current needs and areas where they could collaborate with folks that were already working to help their neighbors and to really be a part of creating, meaningful relationships. And so one of the examples that I loved was in CJ's neighborhood when they helped to clear a park. One of the examples that I loved was when CJ mentioned they helped to clear a park in their neighborhood. And that effort was in collaboration with the community. They understood that work together would benefit their community in a tangible and long-lasting way. And I think that is a really good example of looking to understand and see where you can join in and not just looking from the inside out, instead of looking out and into the community. So that was, I think, a really great example.
Yes. That I love how you say that, not just looking from the inside out, but really looking into the neighborhood and seeing where you can join in. That's a good way to think about that. And one of the things that I saw with the neighborhood contextualization from these experiences of mapping the neighborhood is neighborhoods really are all different. They have different character, rhythms, interests, and demographics. And so how you get to know one neighborhood is going to be different than how you get to know a different neighborhood. And then what you learn about one neighborhood is going to be really different than what you learn about a different another neighborhood, maybe even another neighborhood across town, but certainly another neighborhood across the country or on the other side of the world. And so the implications of what you learn is going to be different, right? So the activities that they ended up doing based on what they learned or the needs that they saw in their neighborhood ended up being really different. I heard like soccer versus trunk or treat versus festival, And can you imagine if we weren't mapping our neighborhoods, if we weren't getting to know them and we were doing things that just had no place to land, that they had no interest in them in our neighborhoods, that would feel disconnected, right? Like, does this church even know us?
Right. Yeah. And I think that ties into to your efforts being long lasting and meaningful when it isn't just, feeling like it's doesn't have a place to land, when you're thinking about the ways it fits into the existing pattern of the community, that makes it more meaningful, and that makes it something that demonstrates you're really caring about connecting with the people and families that are in the neighborhood.
Yes. And incarnational, you know, joining in with the rhythms that already exist instead of expecting people to leave their rhythms and come join the rhythms of the church. Yeah, thanks for that insight, Christiana. So, you know, for our listeners who are wanting to learn more about the Love Avenue and what it can look like to map their neighborhood and join in with their neighborhood's rhythms, where can they go?
Well, if you're yearning to learn more, visit resources.gci.org/love to explore the GCI Love Avenue resources and the Love Avenue toolkit.
Thank you. Friends, we so appreciate you listening to the GC podcast. If you're liking what you hear, give us a rating where you listen to the podcast. It helps us get the word out and invite others to join in on our conversation. So until next time, keep on living and sharing the gospel.
We want to thank you for listening to this episode of the GC podcast. We hope you have found value in it to become a healthier leader. We would love to hear from you. If you have a suggestion on a topic, or if there is someone who you think we should interview, email us at info@gci.org. Remember, healthy churches start with healthy leaders. Invest in yourself and your leaders.